The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord, their God, that were not right. From watchtower to fortified city, they built themselves high places in all the towns. They set up sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading trees. At every high place, they burned incense, as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done. They did wicked things that provoked the Lord to anger. They worshipped idols, though the Lord had said, "You shall not do this." The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers, "Turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your fathers to obey, that I delivered to you through my servants, the prophets." But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their fathers, who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their fathers and the warnings he had given them. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, "Do not do as they do," and they did the things the Lord had forbidden them to do. They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves two idols cast in the shape of calves and an Asherah pole. They bowed down to all the starry hosts and they worshipped Baal. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire. They practiced divination and sorcery and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his presence. Only the tribe of Judah was left. And even Judah did not keep the commands of the Lord, their God. They followed the practice Israel had introduced. Therefore, the Lord rejected all the people of Israel. He afflicted them and gave them into the hands of plunderers until he thrust them from his presence.
Great, thank you, Isaac. All right, keep your that passage in your Bibles open. We'll get to that in just a minute. Could I just say particularly to all of you who are with us this morning, you're here, a lot of you on a regular basis, and you're from other countries, and English is not your first language. Could I just say we're really sorry for all of the figures of speech that we use when we're up here. This morning, Jake talked about keeping your eyes peeled. Now, I have no idea what you think he might have been saying there. But please don't do that, okay? That'll really hurt. I know I've been up here before, and I've talked about the elephant in the room. And just look, dipping your toe in the water. Anyway, we're really sorry about that, and we need to do better. And try to remember that we are becoming far more mixed here in our fellowship. And we're really thankful for that. And so do just forgive us Brits when we do that kind of thing. On a Sunday morning. Anyway, I knew what you were saying, Jake, but okay. A couple of things, and then I want to pray one more time. Just a couple of things to remember here. Please do pray for Eric John and Drummond. They're heading back to share some ministry in Romania on Thursday for the weekend. They've got a conference over there that they're going to speak at. We've been involved in that ministry now there for probably about 30 years. I know Bob Espy and others have been there even before that, probably 35, 36 years. And the Lord's just opened up some great doors for getting alongside brothers and sisters in Christ there in Romania. So Eric John and Drummond heading over on Thursday. Pray for them this weekend. This week is Edinburgh University Events Week. And are there other Edinburgh universities as well this week? Is Edinburgh, anyone else, Napier this week? Oh, they were last week. Okay, we missed them. Okay, pray retrospectively for them and prospectively for Edinburgh this week, okay, because those guys are on mission, and that'll be exciting. don't usually do this, but 18 is a big number. And so I want to say happy birthday this morning to Sammy Johnson, who is 18 today. Today. So Sammy, happy birthday, Sammy. 18 today. Is anybody else 18 today? See, I've got my hand up. Anybody else 18 today? No, okay. So Sammy, 18, great number. I do remember that, although that's probably shocking to you, but a long time ago. On a much more serious note, Jake led us in prayer for Jacob and for Kieran, and we continue to pray for both of our dear brothers during these times of struggle for them. Could I ask you, update you, and ask you to pray especially for Kieran? His cancer has progressed to a point now where his liver can no longer take the chemo, and so they've had to stop his chemo, which means that he's now back home on palliative care. So just really, really tough time for them in the weeks and the months to come. So let me pray again for them, for Kieran and for Angie and Siobhan and Shannon and Hayden and Keegan and Lucy. Let's lift our hearts to the Lord, just as we've been asked to do in that song, lift our eyes to the Lord and pray for them. Lord, we are so, so heavy. We feel so heavy and really so helpless in and of ourselves to even come alongside these dear people at this time of just such incredible struggle for them. But Lord, we know and we are convinced that you will never leave them or forsake them. And you will be nearer to them, near to the brokenhearted, than we could ever imagine. And so we lift them up to you, Lord. We pray that you will bless them with a peace that passes all comprehension, guarding their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus, and bringing to them a depth of settledness in their own hearts and their own minds, knowing the reality of all that has been done for them in Christ and the promise of not just your presence in this world, but your everlasting presence in which they will dwell along with all the faithful for the endless ages of eternity. Lord, keep their hearts strengthened in their hope and help us as a congregation to do all that we can to remember them fervently in prayer before you, and to do what we can to help in any way that we can. We pray you'd bless them, Lord. Keep them. Cause your face to shine on them. Be gracious to them. Lift up your countenance on them, Lord, and give them peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please keep praying for them. Okay, so 2 Kings 17. I have that open in front of you. We'll just kind of pop back and forth to it as we go along here this morning. So over the weeks, now over these recent weeks, we've been looking at the Bible's big picture. And we're going to do that. We've started in Genesis. We're going to work our way all the way through Genesis to Revelation in 9 weeks. All right? So we're moving apace to just try and get a big picture running up to Passion for Life. We're trying to remind ourselves of what we're here to do. We're trying to remind ourselves of the opportunities that we have. We're trying to get ready for this special kind of push and reminder for our church coming up in March and beyond, Passion for Life, other churches in the city, just to raise the awareness of the gospel, raise the awareness of Christ, tell people about Jesus, the only hope for the world. And so this is part of that, just really working our way through the big picture of the Bible. And so far we've looked at God's kingdom, patterned in creation, polluted in the fall, promised to Abraham, pictured in the conquest of Canaan, and now this morning prophesied to the nation of Israel during the turbulent time of the kings. So we're looking at 1 and 2 Kings is the big part of Scripture that we're looking at here this morning. So my job this morning is to look at this from the perspective of the pre-exilic prophets. Next week, Sean's going to look at the exilic and the post-exilic prophets, but this morning, the pre-exilic prophets, or these prophets who were engaging in their ministry in the run-up to the exile of Israel from the land. And so Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, Micah, Jonah, Joel, Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk are all known as the pre-exilic prophets. And God sent these prophets to the nation of Israel before they were removed from the land in judgment. But he sent these prophets to them again and again and again, warning them, telling them of the impending judgment that he was going to bring on the nation if they didn't listen. Okay, so that's what the prophets did. They brought warning. One of the main functions of the prophet was to bring warning if they didn't listen to God. What would happen if they didn't listen? And now here they are, 1 and 2 Kings, and they're in the land that God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and now they're in. They're in. God had promised them the land. They're in the land. They're here. And God had promised this nation that he would take them into this land and that he would work through them. Guys, this is incredible. That he would work through them to bring salvation, blessing to the world. Listen, what an incredible calling. What an incredible calling. Imagine being part of the company of those people, that he would work through you for salvation, blessing to the world. Incredible calling. Except, guess what? They don't listen. They don't listen. Can you imagine that? God's talking to them. Maybe when I talk to you, you don't listen. Well, that's all right. Right? But when God talks to you, and you don't listen, that's incredible. They're not listening. Can you imagine not listening to God when he talks to you? Now, I know none of you have ever done that. Right? But can you imagine that? Well, believe it or not, it happens to Israel, and they turn their backs on their heavenly king. Now listen, echoes of Eden, isn't it? They turn their backs on their heavenly king. Echoes of Eden. That's what they did right at the beginning. We went through that. And they demand an earthly king instead, listen, of God. Instead, they demand an earthly king just so that it can be like all the other nations of the earth. Isn't that something? You've got God as your king, but you want to be like everybody else who doesn't have God in their lives. Are you kidding me? This is exactly what happened. This is how staggering it is. They have God as their king, but they want to be like everybody else who doesn't have God in their lives. And so you know what they wind up with? They wind up with exactly what they ask for, actually. They wind up with messed up, sinful human kings. Guys, be careful what you ask for, right? Be careful what you ask for. And so when you read the account of 1 and 2 Kings, you find out that even the best of the kings of Israel, even the best of them, all fall woefully short of God's perfect standards, don't they? You've read Kings? All of them, no matter who they are, even the best of them fall woefully short of God's perfect standards. David, Solomon, Hezekiah, they're all just sinful human beings. And watch it, because this is a massive clue that Israel's kings are not the solution to the sin sickness of the world. They're merely part of the problem. And so the story goes on as Israel waits for the real deal to come. And he's coming. But at this point in time, this isn't it. And so we come to 2 Kings 17, where things have gotten so spiritually polluted now. It's what happens when you turn your back on God again and again and again. God had sent in the prophets again and again and again. But what happens? Be careful, guys. Be careful. We just think we're dabbling in sin. You know, we just think, it's a one-off. Happens. And a one-off turns into a two-off, turns into a three-off, and before you know it, you're on the way down. It happens. And so here they are, and they haven't been listening to God, and things have gotten so spiritually polluted now in Israel that God pulls the plug. He pulls the plug. And he brings judgment on Israel, and he carries off the northern kingdom to Assyria and the southern kingdom to Babylon in judgment. However, However, and here's where we get into our subject for this morning. Did you notice what Isaac read, verse 13? God does bring judgment. He does bring judgment. But listen, only after what? Or only after who? Only after the prophets. Only after the prophets. He does bring judgment, but only after the prophets. God's spokesmen and his representatives, only after them. These probably some of the strangest birds I think you'll ever come across in the Bible, these guys, the prophets. Study the prophets. Study the prophets. If you think you've seen strange birds in the world, study the prophets. These guys are probably some of the strangest. Totally unconventional, the prophets. This is something. This is something who God chooses and uses. It's something who God chooses. It's like the disciples. Remember them? Remember the disciples? Those guys, strange birds. Strange birds, the disciples. Paul says to the Corinthians, when he's talking about us, strange birds. He says, not many mighty. Remember that? Not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble. Right? Listen, you don't have to be slick. You don't have to be slick to be an effective witness for Jesus. All right? You can be a strange bird. Right? I'm a strange bird. Don't look at me like that because you're a strange bird as well. You can be like that. You have to be slick to be. I think that's one of the lessons we learned from the prophets. And so Sean's gonna introduce us next week to Ezekiel. Okay? Sean's going to introduce next week. I think he is, right? Ezekiel. Sean's going to introduce next week to Ezekiel, who is probably the wackiest bird of all. This guy, seriously. Ezekiel, probably the wackiest bird of all, prophesying on his side for over a year, shaving his head, burning his hair, and cooking his bread over dung. Right? Not really your typical Sunday lunch kind of guy, Ezekiel. Isaiah walked around naked and barefoot for 3 years prophesying. Jeremiah wore a massive wooden yoke on his shoulders to show what God was going to do to Judah through Babylon. Hosea told to marry a prostitute and then to forgive her again and again and again as a sign of God's incredible love and grace for his people. Israel, Jonah, come on. Jonah, his quiet time in the belly of a fish. Praise to God from inside a giant fish. Never mind the guy who paved the way for Jesus, right? What was his name? John the Baptist. My goodness, the guy with an obsession for leather belts and an appetite for roasted bugs, right? These were the guys. These were the prophets. These were God's spokesmen. And God's calling us to do likewise. So you think you're strange? You think you're not noble, mighty, whatever? Join a club. I'm not asking you to do what some of these guys did, right? Keep your clothes on. But strange stuff, strange. You read this in the Bible. Strange stuff that God does. Proves a point. Listen, fools for God, the lot of them. Fools for God, the lot of them. Just like Paul says that he's a fool for Christ. I remember when I first became a Christian. Maybe it was because I was who I was, and the guy wanted to remind me of this. But I remember when I first became a Christian, and someone saying to me, everybody is somebody's fool. Whose fool are you? And I got the point. I'd rather be, a fool for Jesus. And so let me finish with two observations about God's kingdom prophets in God's kingdom program. All right? Just to have a look at this next stage of development in God's big kingdom program. Okay, so number one, through the prophets, God always brings warning before he brings judgment. It's a big point. It's a big, big point in the Bible. And it's something that is good for us to remember. Because I think a lot of times we just point our finger at God because, you know, God brings judgment or God brings, he just brings correction or he brings whatever. Always, 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 guys. Always. And the prophets teach us this. And we got to thank God for it. That he always brings warning before he brings judgment. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Because you know what that is? That is just one more incredible demonstration of God's grace and God's mercy, isn't it? Just one more incredible demonstration of his grace and his mercy. Paul David Tripp says that God's righteous warnings are an expression of his love. If heeded, they're a spiritual safety system. The warnings in the Bible should be to us like alarms going off. They should get our attention and alter what we think and what we do. You get that? So important. So important, because all we need to do is open our Bible and God speaks. Fair? All we need to do is open our Bible and God speaks, and he warns us. He knows what we're like. He knows we're but dust. He knows the principle of sin remains in our bodies. All you need to do is open your Bible and God warns us. So important. And so again and again and again, God sends the prophets to warn his people. 2 Chronicles 36:15. The Lord, the God of their ancestors, sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. Jeremiah 35:15. Again and again, I sent all my servants, the prophets, to you. They said, each of you must turn from your wicked ways. Reform your actions. Do not follow other gods and serve them. And then you will live in the land that I have given you and your ancestors. See how it works. See how it works. God wants certain things for our lives. He tells us how to get there. He tells us what to do. He tells us how to live. Exactly what Debbie was saying to the kids this morning. Imitate Christ. Imitate Christ. Say, I can't do that. Well, the Spirit of God inside you can. The Spirit of Christ who dwells within you can imitate Christ. You can bear the fruit of the Spirit. Don't go trying to struggle without Christ to bear the, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Don't just try to grit your teeth and do that. I've just found myself so often through my Christian life, I'm not really walking close to the Lord, but I know that I need to be patient. Right? Because it says that's a fruit of the Spirit. Right? First one on the list when Paul says love is patient. Patient. I know I got to be patient. I'm not as close to God as I should be. So, you know, but I know I need to be patient. And so I go out and I say, today, Wayne is going to be patient. You know how long I last? It's 2 seconds, especially behind the wheel of my car. Right? Patience, patience. Love is patient, love is kind, and all those fruits of the Spirit. And some of us are good at this. Some of us are better than others at kind of making it look like we really are being patient. You know what I mean? Some of us are better. I'm not good at that. I can never be pretentious. I find that I just can't do that. Whatever's in me comes out. And I can't really do that. But some of you are good. Just, you know, and you can just, I don't know, patient, kind. And it looks like you are, but in your heart, something else is going on. But you got to be kind. You got to be kind. You don't feel like being kind any more than a slug, right? But you know you're going to be kind. And so I'm going to be kind. Hi, how are you doing? You know what I mean? You know what it's like. You know what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm saying. And that looks like the fruit of the Spirit. But if you were to test it, it's plastic. It's just plastic. Because it's your fruit, not the Spirit's fruit. But if we let God work in our lives and we walk close with him, he promises to give us all that we need to be able to do that. So he tells us in his word, he tells us again and again and again, Jeremiah 25:3-4, for 20 years, 23 years, Jeremiah says, the word of the Lord has come to me and I have spoken it to you again and again, but you have not listened. Guys, you get it. You get it. He does take them off. He does judge them. He does remove them for the land, but only after. God does bring chastisement into our lives as his children. He does bring chastisement, but only after he tells us what to do. So we don't have to go there. Don't blame him when it happens, because he tells us. It's all over his word. I hope you get that. God's warning is God's wooing. Isn't it? God's warning is God's wooing his people back to himself. That's what it is. They were drifting. They were wandering. They were sinning. God warns them. What is he doing by warning them? Is he just licking his chops and waiting to bring the hammer down? Of course he's not. He's wooing his people back. That's what he wants. That's what he wants, the best for us, for the glory of him. So when you're sitting in church and the word of God pierces your heart like a javelin, happens. You're sitting in church and that happens. And we know that God's putting his finger on some area of our lives. Listen, we need to listen to what he's saying. We need to listen to what he's saying. Because he's lovingly calling us back. When a brother or sister in Christ wounds you with rebuke, and you don't like it. You don't like it any more than I like it. Because I've been there and you've been there. Right? What right do you have to tell me that? Whatever it is. We don't like it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Listen, what's a wound? A wound is from a cut. A cut hurts. Deceitful are the faithful wounds of a friend, deceitful are the kisses of the enemy. The kisses of the enemy. Yeah, wounds of a friend. When a brother or sister wounds us with rebuke, let's ask ourselves if what they're saying is true. Is this God wooing us back? Is what they're saying is true? Because God asks us to do this in each other's lives. If it is true, then listen. When we open up God's word and God opens up our eyes, then my goodness, listen. John 3:16 is a prophetic passage. John 3:16 is a prophetic passage. Just listen to it with that kind of a slant on it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him, there's the warning. Got to believe in it. We go in events week, passion for life, day-to-day interactions with our colleagues and our classmates and our family and our neighbors, right? God's asking us to share with them the truth. The only hope for the world, guys, is the gospel. Amen? The only hope for our world is the gospel. The only hope for this country isn't a new prime minister. Never mind the hope for America, right? I mean, the only hope is the gospel. Only hope is the gospel. And the gospel's pretty simple. You can share it with anybody. We've got to share it. Whoever believes in him should not perish. There's the warning. But have everlasting life. Guys, that's a prophetic passage of warning to a lost and a dying world. Psalm 19 reminds us that God's commandments to us are perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, right? God's commandments are all those things. Now watch it, because by them God's servant is warned. Warned that in keeping them there is great reward. Listen, are we listening? Are we listening? Because God always brings warning before he brings judgment. Oh my goodness, thank God that he does. Thank God that he does. Second observation from the prophets is that through the prophets, God not only warns his people, but he reminds his people that even though their disobedience, when he brings that warning, and he brings that word, even though their disobedience may have devastating consequences for them, that failure and that weakness will never derail the promise of his blessing for the world. Is that not good? Is that not good? Prophets do this. The prophets do this. They bring warning, but they also bring a reminder that it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on us. And you cannot miss this in the prophets. You cannot miss it in the prophets. Because one of the things God does for these crazy-looking fools for Christ in the Old Testament, because that's what they looked like. I think if you were to meet a prophet, you'd just think, what? Just wild people. A lot of them, wild people. God uses them. So there's hope for all of us, guys, right? There's hope for all of us. But one of the things he does through these crazy-looking fools for Christ is he gives them the ability to see into the future. So he gives these people uniquely the ability. He shows them visions. He gives them the ability to see into the future. And so the prophets, in that sense, they're both forth-tellers because they preach the word, they preach the truth. They're forth-tellers, but they're also foretellers, the prophets. And so they forth-tell God's truth as they faithfully preach God's word to God's world right now. But they are also foretellers and foretelling the future as God opens up to them by the Spirit. It's what made prophets unique. It's what made these guys unique. And so again and again and again, often for these guys, in the midst of some of the most horrific personal circumstances you can imagine, read what the prophets have gone through and what it was like to be a prophet. There weren't a whole lot of guys volunteering for the vocation, I can guarantee you. But again and again and again, often through some of the craziest, most horrific circumstances you can imagine, God reminds his people that no matter what, his kingdom is coming. Because it looks like right now, with what's going on in Israel, right? Both of the kingdoms are ejected from the land. It looks like the kings have turned their back on him. No faithful kings in the north, just a few in the south. But both of the 722 and the northern 10 tribes of Israel are out to Assyria. And then in 587, in kind of two or three deportations, the southern kingdom's out to Babylon. And so it looks like the plan has failed. God is going to choose his nation. Abraham, I'm choosing you, and I'm going to make you a great nation, give you a land, great name, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And it kind of looks like now that something's gone belly up, doesn't it? Sorry, it was another turn of speech. Don't think about a belly going up, but it's all going bad. It's all going bad. We use figures of speech more than we ever realize. That's what's happening in Israel right now. That's what's going on. That's what it looks like. And so the prophets come not just to warn them, guys, if this keeps up, you're out. But he also comes to remind the people that God's kingdom program will never fail. Is that not good? Is that not good? We'll never fail. It is coming. God's kingdom is all coming. And so if you read the prophets, this is all over the prophets. It's all over the prophets because it's a massive part of what God has sent them to do. And so Isaiah sees the day when the gates of Jerusalem are going to be constantly open so that people can bring in the wealth of the nations. Isaiah 60 verse 11. And when the desert is going to blossom like the crocus and the ransomed of the Lord are going to come to Zion with everlasting joy on their heads and sorrow and sighing are going to flee away. That's what Isaiah sees. Jeremiah sees the day when nobody is going to have to say to their neighbor, know the Lord, because everybody's going to know the Lord. Isn't that so? No more Passion for Life. No more events weeks. They'll be gone. We won't need to do that. The day is going to come. God will judge the world in righteousness. But his kingdom is coming, and those who believe will have eternal life. They're all going to know the Lord, from the least to the greatest, Jeremiah says. Ezekiel, he sees a river flowing out from the temple of God, transforming everything in its path. Daniel sees the kingdom of God like a massive rock, crushing and superseding every other kingdom on earth. Hosea sees Israel dwelling in peace under the rule of Messiah. Joel sees the Holy Spirit being poured out on people like he's never done before. Amos sees people securely planted in the land. Obadiah concludes his prophecy with, the kingdom will be the Lord's. Jonah sees the best of God's mercy on the worst of human sinners. Micah sees the word of the Lord going forth to all the nations. Nahum sees the feet of gospel heralds on the mountains bringing good news. Habakkuk sees the earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of God like the waters cover the sea. Oh my goodness, what a picture. You got to get it, guys. You got to get it. Zephaniah sees the future kingdom of God on earth centered in a restored, purified Jerusalem. Haggai sees a new Joshua king ruling, he says, like a signet ring of authority for the world. Zechariah sees the Mount of Olives split in two when the Messiah comes back to rule on earth. And Malachi sees the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Man, listen, none of it, because men have been faithful to God, but only because God is forever faithful to every promise that he makes. And the greatest by far for us, the greatest promise by far that God makes to us is the promise of forgiveness of sin, isn't it? It's the promise that God will forgive our sin and he will reconcile us to himself and give us eternal life in his perfect and glorious presence on the basis not of our good deeds or our good behavior, but on the basis of Jesus' perfect life, sacrificial death, glorious resurrection. On that basis alone, God makes this promise. And all he asks for of us, guys, all he asks of us is a humble heart that is willing to confess our sin and put its faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. That's all he asks of us. Because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Now, can I get one big... I wasn't big, but I'll take it for now. Guys, that's it, isn't it? That's the gospel. That's God. That's what brings joy to our hearts, strength to our bones. My goodness. You know, for those we're praying for now, this is the stuff that brings strength to your bones and hope to your life. Pray that into these situations and bring that into your own heart today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Christ and Christ alone. Thank you for all that he is to us and all that he's done for us and all that he has laid up in store for us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, hasn't even entered into our hearts or our minds or our thoughts what you have laid up and treasured up for us in Christ. And Father, we know that we're not always faithful. We know that so well. We know our own hearts, and you know them even better than we do. We know that we fail you so often, and yet you are so merciful and so forgiving and so patient. We struggle with patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We struggle with these things, but not your spirit. So Lord, teach us not just to number our days, but teach us to walk with the Spirit, so that we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh and that we can be men and women who testify by our lips and our lives the greatness of God our King for the glory of his great name forever. Amen.
Well, thank you, Wayne, for the reminder of God's promises, and that simply through, we're thankful to God for his warning of his judgment, and that we can, if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. So thank you for those reminders. So we're now just going to have our last song, which is going to be The Lord is My Salvation. But before we sing, I should mention that after the song, I'll share a verse to send us off. And then Nigel, one of our elders, is going to come up and talk to us about our church-wide survey. So I'll take the time now to say thank you for coming. And you're welcome to come along to our evening service tonight at 6:30. which will be at the German-speaking congregation over in Marchmont. So do ask someone if you'd like to come and you'd like to know where that is. But yes, after we have our survey announcement, please do stay for tea and coffee and get to know some people around the church as well. But for now, let's sing "The Lord is My Salvation." Lamentations chapter 3, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Amen.
Thank you, Jake. Hello, you lovely people. Before you start chatting and having coffee, about 4 years ago, we did a Carrubbers survey, and it was just to ask who you are, how old you are, where you live, how long you've been a Christian, which services you go to, and it was really useful for the elders to get that information and just understand a little bit more about our family at Carrubbers. So we're going to do another survey because we've got another Elders Day coming up in March. And so if you could take out your phones, you're allowed to do that. So before you start chatting and things, take out your phones and just scan that. It takes just a couple of minutes. And the best thing about it is it's anonymous, so you can actually be truthful. You can say if you don't do this or do that, etc. So just go in. It's very simple to do it, but it will really help us as we get together on our Elders' Day just to understand what's changed over the last 4 years in Carrubbers. What do we need to be thinking about? So thank you very much for this. You've got plenty of time before you have to go and pick up kids, so it's no problem. Thanks very much. Bless you all.